Hey, let's completely turn around, because now we're talking about adding some more hygiene time, getting more patients confirmed, doing all that stuff. How about getting some new patients? Because we are all on the new patient fix. We're all addicted to new patients, and for good reason. There's just nothing like having a new patient come in that's all enthusiastic and needs a lot of treatment. It's the greatest thing ever. How do we get them in? How do we get more new patients?
Well, again, I could do 2 days on this, and I don't know anyone that has perfect knowledge of this. And I know you're very active this way because you hire some of the best speakers in the country. And, you know, I've been attending your Richards Report thing since I was out in Baltimore and other seminars, and I keep my eyes and ears open, and I network with colleagues I respect like Ken Runkle and Mayor Levitt and Tom Smead out of Kansas City and Max Gotcher with a Summit. I mean, these are all sharp people that have to get results or they couldn't just keep existing in this market. Same thing for us. We can't be too full of bull or people would know it, you know, 30 years ago. And so when we look at new patient development, I always say it is possible to increase new patients. It just isn't easy. And so there's five major approaches to it. One is the sweetness and light approach, which is if you do good dentistry and take good care of people and have a cooking machine or a hand waxing machine or flowers and all that stuff, you'll get plenty of new patients. Now, that doesn't work. It certainly works because it's its own reward. I mean, taking good care of your patients in a pleasant atmosphere is a reward in and of itself. And it certainly is important for keeping people, which is very important. But as a valid new patient development strategy, I haven't seen a cookie machine go in and the numbers go up. Not once. Okay?
I think so, you're right.
And you can do this. I've been in meetings. You have some old crusty, since crusty's our word today, old crusty guy saying, dang it, we're going to be nice around here if it kills us. Like, you know, it's like trying to put a oak veneer in a tin cabinet. We're going to be, you know, deep down, we're ornery, uptight, mean people, but we're going to create the illusion of a pleasant harmony. You know, that doesn't work either. So sweetness and light is important for keeping patients and often talked about as a new patient development strategy, but I haven't seen it work, okay? So it's an approach, but I don't think it's the best approach, but it's important anyway for keeping people. Number two is advertising. We'll come back to that. Three is actively soliciting referrals. And my approach on that is, you know, most doctors just never, I mean, I've given up practically trying to tell doctors to do this because it always feels like they feel like they're begging. You know, Rich, you're all done with your treatment now and everything went well and gosh, we love people like you and send us some of your friends. We'd really appreciate it. The problem is doctors don't do that because, you know, they feel like they're begging. And I try to rotate that. And I say, you know, don't think about asking for help. Think about offering help. So instead of saying, Rich, you know, please help me out by sending me friends. Imagine like if I say, Rich, I'm having a party Saturday night. Could you come and bring any friends you have, please? I mean, that's beggy and it's weird. It's creepy, right?
But if I say, I wouldn't even want to go to that party.
Right. But if you say you're offering help, it's like, Rich, I'm having a party Saturday night. You're welcome. Of course, any friend of yours is welcome to come. So instead of saying, please help us, I'm saying, you know, we're on a mission, Rich. Our whole purpose in being here is to deliver care. And we rely on our patients to help get other people in because about one out of three Americans hasn't seen a dentist in 2 years or more. So you have friends and family members and others out there that are putting off that checkup. So you tell them to come on in and we'll take good care of them. In other words, what I'm saying is like, Rich, I'm happy to help you and I'm happy to help any friends of yours. So it's more of a mission-based thing, more of a, look, I'm getting a cup of coffee. Does anyone else want something?
So what's the spiel? Give me the spiel. I just finished. You cemented a crown. Your hygienist just gave me a great prophy. I'm all happy. What do you say?
Okay. Well, you're all done with your treatment now. We don't anticipate any problems. Everything turned out great, but I'm going to give you a couple of my cards. If there's any concerns or questions you have at all, Rich, I want you to call me, and I really mean it because we want to make sure you're happy. And sometimes the next day people have thoughts or don't remember something we told them today. So if you have any questions at all, you call me. Now, I gave you an extra card. If you have a friend or family member that needs to see the dentist, they're always welcome here. We're on a mission. Our whole thing here is to help people. So we're happy to help your friends if you have friends that need helping. Now, there's other ways to say that, but the idea is more of an attitude of offering help than asking for help. A good time of year to do this is Dental Health Month, and it's every February. I know it's technically Children's Dental Health Month, but that's a good time of the year to talk things up. And on my website, advancedpracticemanagement.com, there's an article I wrote about this years ago for Howard Fran and his Fran Report deal days. And it talks about how you can use Dental Health Month to spin things because it gives you a background on mission. So, for example, Rich, it's Dental Health Month. We're making a big push in the office to tell patients to get their friends and family members and coworkers in. So when you go back to the office, here's some coffee cups or whatever, spread them around and tell people if they got a dentist, go see them. If they haven't, come on in and get the checkup they've been putting off. Or here's an article that talks about the connection between dental health and overall health, Rich. Please read it and pass it on to a friend. And if your friend hasn't seen the dentist, tell them to call and get that checkup they've been putting off. Dr. Matto is doing free dental exams for the month of February for friends of patients.
I like that approach, just saying that, you know, encourage your friends to get in excellent dental health. And if they want to, you know, and kind of like insinuate, if they want to go to their dentist, that's great. If they want to come here, we'd love to see them.
Yeah, it seems less needy, and the real value in that is it's more likely the doctors will do it. But even then, it's really hard to get doctors to do this consistently. So I say, well, then have the assistants do it because they can do the card thing. And Dental Health Month makes it about as easy as any time of the year to get used to doing it. So actively seeking referrals. Sometimes we do a mailer around Dental Health Month. That's on our website, too. And if your readers are serious about doing something about Dental Health Month the next time it comes around, that would be good. The fourth major approach, because that was number three, is PPO or insurance participation. You know, if you sign up with a bunch of PPOs, it will tend to enhance your volume. And ironically, you know, I'm the insurance exorcist. I help people off PPOs and Delta. But there's lots of clients I work with where they do just fine with those programs. And so sometimes, in some situations, it can be a valid strategy. Doing lots of PPOs isn't good for a doctor that talks slow, eats slow, walks slow, because you do have to be able to outrun the discount. And so, but the PPO participation can help. And the fifth major approach to bringing in new patients, and the best, is buying an old doctor's practice.
That is the best, isn't it? It's unbelievable.
I do at least a half dozen deals a year this way. And here it kind of all works out, because if you're in an area that's not growing and it's old, there's going to be older practices where you can buy them. If you're in an area that's new and growing, it's new and growing and you get more new patients. But if you're in an area that's old and you try to just organically get more new patients when it's not really growing, it's really tough.
Now, I don't know if you recommend this technique, but I know it's been done successfully many times, and that is buy their older dentist practice. Maybe they want to work for you for 6 months or a year because they're just not ready to give it up yet, but they still don't want the headaches of ownership and their building maintenance and all that junk. Bring them into your practice for a bit, just a little intro. I don't know what your take is on that, but I know it's been done successfully many times.
Yeah, that can be, again, any way you can do it. Typically, I find you do want to limit how long the older guy's there, because because it's sort of like if you buy a house and the previous tenant's there, you start to rearrange the kitchen. They go, don't mess with my kitchen. You go, well, it's not your kitchen anymore. And then you have a problem. But that kind of transition can work out well if it can dislodge the doctor from a lease that's up, but he doesn't quite want to quit, and you can host him. Some of these older doctors are real great journeymen and perfect pinch hitters, like Dave Winville was here for the Twins or something years ago. You know, old journeymen that can fill in very nicely.
I thought that was Rod Carew. No?
No, well, Rod Carew was kind of before my time and yours.
I remember when he was almost going to get about 400 one year when I was a little kid. That was a really
exciting
thing.
Boy, you got a good memory.
For stupid things.